prayed that yesterday. We could pray it again tonight. Number 75 in the white book. Number 75. Jesus, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Minister as you desire tonight, Lord, we pray. Oh, Lord, have your way. Have your way with each one. Dear Lord, manifest yourself. Jesus, as you desire, we want you. We need you, Lord. Dear Lord, our eyes are on you this night, dear Father. Hallelujah, that you manifest yourself as you desire. Lord, in this meeting, to work as you can. Oh God, thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Some of the staff have a song for us tonight. Come, sing. Praise the Lord. Jesus paid it all. Thank you, Father, Jesus. For mercy so great, what return can I make? For mercy so constant and others tonight that want to thank the Lord for his great love for you. And he got a hold of your life. How deep the Father's love for us. And when he sees the way that we live, but he still puts up with us and loves us, why, that's a deep love. But he has that for us, and how thankful we are. And maybe you want to express in a word of thanksgiving or testimony, thanksgiving to God for his unspeakable gift, for the gift of his love, for his sacrifice. And maybe there's something else also. There are some counselors here down from the village tonight, and if there's something you'd like to share with us, whatever, feel free, everyone of you. But let's worship him in our testimony and our song, and how thankful we are for his great, great love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be.
Given these past 2 years almost, it has been more and more real to me. God has drawn so close with mercy. We've gone through some trials in life that have consumed us, and at times you feel almost overwhelmed, but God has been so good.
Thank you, Lord.
And so faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
And above all, what has risen in my reality is his mercy, how compassionate he is toward us. First, I'd like to say thank you to so many of you who have prayed to kind of cap off some trials that our family has faced. I went through a physical battle, emergency surgery for aortic dissection. Some of you may know what that is. I won't bore you with it all, but most people don't survive what I went through back in February. And I know that many people have been praying, and there are a lot of people that have prayed that I didn't know were praying. And I met some of you here this week. And in the first period when we were here, some that came and said, "Oh, you're John Prah. We've been praying for you." They didn't even know who I was. But so many have been faithful in praying for me and for my family these past months, and God has been so good in bringing health and strength and healing. I'm still on a journey, but God's mercy is so great.
Yes, Lord.
And his love and compassion and faithfulness. We've been hearing that. We've only been here about a day so far now, But we've heard that over and over again, the goodness and the love of God, and how he comes to us in our time of need. And I am so grateful for his presence above all, that in the midst of the trials that we all face, I know all of us have a story. All of us have trials that we've gone through. God has walked with us, and I'm thankful for what he teaches us in these times. And some of you may be in that place tonight. Our sister just shared, Sarah just shared, you don't know what's coming. And the younger you are, the more real that is. It seems like there's a bubble, and life is good, and health is good, and trials aren't so terrible. I know it seems that way when you're going through it. But we never know what's coming. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what lies before us. But God ordains these things and works these things for our good. All things work together for good to those who know God and are called according to his purposes and minded. God is actually sharing with Brother Bob and Sister Judy earlier. We were sharing some of our life ailments and trials, and a reminder that you know, God brings us to a place for a purpose and for a reason, and he works in us during these times to change us and to make us more like him. James talks about it, Peter, Paul, all through scripture we read how God is using life and using trials. Sometimes it's just the way life is and raining on the just sometimes and the unjust. Sometimes it's God working in our lives, bringing trials to us. He does that, and it disciplines us, not just because we were bad, but discipline is a positive thing as well. You know, the disciplines that you have to train in life, that help you, that strengthen you. God uses these things to strengthen, to discipline us, to godliness, and there are things that that's what I was going to say. We talked about things that you live long enough and you walk with God long enough, you thought you learned a few things. And then you come into situations in life and you realize there's a whole other dimension of God that he begins to unfold in our time of need or whatever the situations might be that we go through. There are things we cannot learn any other way, but God walks us through this. And the children of Israel, we studied the book of Exodus a couple of years ago in church, and we did it here at camp a couple of years ago. And the story of Israel coming out of Egypt, and God speaks to them, and he says, I brought you out on eagle's wings to bring you to myself. You know, it wasn't to bring them to the promised land. It was to bring them to himself. And you know, he brought them through a lot of trials for 40 years in the wilderness. He worked them through a process that was really difficult. But God was bringing them in that to himself. And he does that for us as well, for our good. And we're not in this just to get to heaven. We're in this to get near to God, to be brought to himself. And so what a blessing it is that whatever circumstance we're in, whatever trial you may be going through today, whatever may come tomorrow, that God is working this for our good, that he might bring us into a new reality of who he is, his love for us, his mercy for us, his grace for us, and that we might count it joy.
Yes.
As God is perfecting us and maturing us and sanctifying us, that even in the trials and the various tribulations, that we would count it joy, that God would love me so. He could leave me to myself, to my own devices, to my own sinfulness, to my own desires. He could leave me in that, abandoned, lost, desperate. But he so loves us that he works us through the process to bring us unto himself. What a God that would love me so, that he would wean us from earth and bring us to himself. And I'm just so thankful for that. Thank you again for all of you who have stood with us and prayed for us. God has been so good, and we love you for that. And we just pray that God would continue to work in us for his good and for his purposes and for all of us. God would have his way.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Dear Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for Brother John. We thank you for sparing his life. We thank you for bringing him to the place where he is tonight. Well, strong, stronger all the time. And Lord, most of all, we thank you that you teach us and you show us yourself. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. And Lord, as our brother and his wife have done that, you've proven yourself faithful. You've shown them great and mighty things that maybe couldn't have been learned or shown to them any other way. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. And we acknowledge your mercy and your grace, your mercy that endures forever. And Lord, what can we do? What can we do to repay you but love you and serve you with all that we have as long as our life shall endure? So, Lord, we believe that you're working and continue to work in our brother and through his ministry and through his life. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that he can be at camp at this time. Lord, these few days, and we pray your rich blessing upon Brother John and Sister Diana. We pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you will finish the work that you've begun. Oh, Lord, as they're here in your presence, Lord, as they're here on these grounds, Lord, infuse resurrection life into their body and soul and spirit. Lord, you are good and you are faithful, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Number 68 in the white book. Number 68. If you'd like to stand as we sing this. That next verse, as Brother John was speaking, and as this song suggests, the lady who wrote it, and I think it was just at the Chinese retreat I mentioned it as we sang this song, but she herself was quite sick and in pain for a long time, arthritic pain many years ago, and relief from arthritis wasn't very available, and And she suffered much. Her hands, they say, were gnarled. She couldn't open her hand, and it was kind of stuck in this kind of position. And most of her older years, she spent bedridden and suffering. But she knew Jesus, and she loved Jesus, and she found, now I'm not saying this, she said, she found during that time of illness and pain and affliction that it drove her to Jesus, and she found him in a way that she never could have experienced him otherwise. I've heard that testimony so often. Johnny Erickson Tada. I mean, I would never, as a young girl, dove into that water and broke her neck and was, for years now, quadriplegic. And I'm sure many, if not all of you, have heard her story. And yet she has said, I'm thankful for that day. And I can't understand that, can you? I'm thankful for that day, but why? Because she said, and maybe there are many more reasons, but she said, it's given me an opportunity to let so many other people know about Jesus. I never would have had the platform that I have had it not been for this condition. So I thank God, if I have to, through these years of my life, which is just a fleeting moment, a light affliction, which is but for a moment, but if I can use this life. Have you seen the man with no arms and no legs? I can't say his last name, otherwise Vucevic or something like that. I'm amazed. They sit him on top of the pulpit when he preaches. He kind of crawls up there. It's almost comical, but it's not funny because of the condition he's in. But he was born that way, but God has gotten a hold of his life. And it's not a wasted life. It's a what would you call it? A life that is not like yours or mine. But there he again. I have an opportunity, and people listen to him. If he, from the vantage point of what he has, can speak the way he does and talk about the joy that he has in life, why? Where do I come off talking about my toenail that's infected or our problems that are so, so great? And to us, they are great, and God is concerned about them. But I'm thankful for the grace of God. I haven't had much an opportunity compared to what Brother John went through, compared to, and that was a big deal. I mean, I've had my deal and my issues and things, and we all have, but when you're up to life and death, and it's more death than life, according to the prognosis, but God's mercy, but God's grace, but the grace of God that then helps us in our need. And here, as an older woman, they took a pencil one day. God gave her this song. I don't know if she wrote any other songs, Annie Johnson Flint. And they put a pencil between her gnarled hand, and she just scribbled out the verses, these two verses. And when you think of her situation and you think of the song, it makes it that much more real. And I'm thankful that there are people that have found the grace of God, the mercy of God, the strength of God. They have found that his strength is made perfect in their weakness. Most gladly, therefore, do they glory in their infirmities. And on the list goes. Dennis Byrd, a football player. And I read his tract and his testimony, and thanking God for that opportunity. The police officer, I forget his last name, the police officer that was shot many years ago, he passed away now, but there in a wheelchair with a breathing apparatus. He couldn't breathe on his own, but no unforgiveness against the man that shot him. Just thankful for the mercy of God and the grace of God. It's amazing to me how real. This is not fairy tale stuff. This is not, you know, put your chin up and your best foot forward and do your best. It's not that at all, because nobody could do that. But it's God's grace and mercy in the life. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. When you reach the end of your storehouse, when you are exhausted and can't go another step, our Father's full giving has only begun. Oh, thank God. And what we need to do, what I need to do, is to learn how to take If you've ever heard the name R.W. Schambach, he was an evangelist, and he had a ministry to pray for those that were sick, and I was in a number of his different meetings. I used to go with my cousin Eddie when he was in town. We listened to him on the radio. We both liked him, and we used to show up at his meetings, and we enjoyed them. And he prayed for everyone that came at the end, that the Lord would heal them, and somebody asked him what he would do if, as he prayed for somebody, they just dropped dead as he was praying for healing for their body. He said, I'd pray for the next one. I'd get rid of that guy, and I'd pray for the next one, because it doesn't come from me. I'm not the healer. He's the healer. The only thing I've been called to do is to take the available supply that he has. And he was asked about the difference in people, and he said, the difference is some people are better receivers than others. God's grace is sufficient. God's mercy is deep. How deep the Father's love for us. You'll never get to the bottom of it. He first of all saved me, but it didn't end there. It continues and it keeps on till the very end of my days. But I'm a poor taker. I think I am. I need to receive that love. I need to partake out of his fullness. John says, we have received. We've received grace upon grace. Upon grace and more grace. And when you get a thorn in the flesh, maybe you'll say, Lord, get rid of that thorn. I don't like that thorn. And the Lord will say, no, that thorn is good for you. A messenger of Satan is buffeting me, Lord. Get rid of that. I rebuke that in your name. And I prayed three times that it might depart. And then he spoke to me and he said, just leave it alone. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I've got a lot of learning to do. I really do. Maybe you do too, but I'm thankful that he's teaching us. And I am thankful. I'm thankful. I'm not wanting to go through the experience Brother John went through, or experiences plural that Brother John went through. But I'm thankful that I know somebody. I know somebody that's gone through it and can say God's mercy and his grace is sufficient. That Jesus Christ is enough. For the vicissitudes and trials and problems in life, Jesus Christ is enough. He's enough when you're a teenager. He's enough when you're a young adult and raising a family. He's enough when you're a grandpa. And I suppose he's enough when you're a great-grandfather. I don't know that yet, but maybe one day I'll find out. But Lord, your grace and mercy, but help me to be a better taker. Lord, to receive, not only for myself, but for others. Others, Lord. Lord, your love has no limit. Let's sing that second stanza together. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our morning resources, our Father is only Lord, how my life. I can be free from all condemnation. I can have victory now in the strife. It's Jesus in me. I take the life. Oh, I do, Lord. I receive, Lord. Hallelujah. The victory that you purchase, the victory that you offer. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, oh Lord. There's victory. We thank you for it, Lord. You are able, Lord, to make all grace to abound toward us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.